match. All right, everyone, welcome back to another episode of The Sportsman. That's Joey Coldcuts over there. I am the Big Ticket, and we just keep rolling along here, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Tick. How are you, man? It's been a lot of moving parts. We were just in Jacksonville, Florida, doing our thing down there with Calorie. What an experience that was, no?
Yeah, I mean, it was a good time. I mean, it was nonstop. There wasn't a lot of, we were waking up early every day, and then Jet and I were editing a lot at night, but there was one night
you guys do the Lord's work on these trips. It's just early and often, Tick. At all times, it's pretty nominal, man.
Yeah, but we were able to go out one night for Bob's birthday, and not really a drinker anymore, but so I said goodbye after the dinner portion, but before you guys went out and fucking ripped the city apart, it sounds like. I woke up to what looked like Chernobyl the next morning. I mean, it was bad, dude.
No, it was tough. By the way, I got a little friend with me here
today. Oh, Dr. Dre.
Dre, say hi.
You guys kind of look alike.
A lot of people are saying that we do.
You do a little bit. He looks like
what's the side by side here? JJ, look.
He looks like he's very comfortable on a couch. He does not look like he's antsy to go to a dog park. He looks like he's very,
well,
he can do that all day.
For anyone who knows, the weather in LA stinks. So sure. It's been raining. I don't, by the way, I don't know when Los Angeles turned into Seattle. I really don't. I didn't get the memo, apparently. Did you? Because this has been outrageous. It has been – if I hear the word drought again in, like, the next year and a half, I am going to be furious because it has rained, it seems like, on and off for the last better part of 3 weeks.
Well, the thing about Los Angeles itself, and really a lot of California, Southern California specifically, is when there's no rain, they complain about a drought. And then when there's too much rain, they complain about mudslides. So it's like you can never make these – people happy around here. All I know is every morning I wake up to take a shower, the water's on. Okay? That's
you know
all
what
I
the best
about.
One I heard was? After we got the first stint of rain, it was like, oh, well, you know, the drought's over, but now everything's so lush that a fire is just going to completely wipe everything out.
That's the other thing. Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, at what point are we just satisfied here, you know? Like, at what point can we just be happy?
They call it fuel. So when there's too much rain in Los Angeles, like all the hillsides just like grow like weeds, like all of this lush greenery that is, you know, but they call it fuel for when the summer comes around and it gets so hot, it gets so dry, and it makes the wildfire threat, you know, 10 times worse.
I will tell you that I did Runyon Canyon, the hike, the infamous LA hike. I did it with Nicole last week. And if you look at that area now, as opposed to like 3 months ago,
yeah,
it looks like a different place, man. It is night and day different. The amount of, I mean, yeah,
it went from looking like the sand dunes to the botanical garden. I mean, it looks unbelievable. It's just green everywhere.
Fire season is ready just to pillage us,
yeah,
man. I tell you
destroy
what,
us.
It's going to be bad. Yeah. But we got an episode to do here. We got lots to talk about. I wanted to start right out of the gates with something.
Let it rip.
We had the players tournament this last week. We were able to go there. We experienced TPC Sawgrass. Now, albeit, you know, we were only there for a few hours, but we were there on the 17th hole. We partook in the festivities. We went to the fan shop. We got some food. We were able to take in, you know, that experience, which to me, I had never been there before. I thought it was amazing. I thought that hole is probably one of the coolest, most nice holes that I have been to, you know, that has been a part of any PGA tournament. And what I wanted to get into is the fact that, you know, we're starting to build a little steam here, Tick. You and I both, on the Genesis Open, when we did our golf picks, we took Rahm. We both had Homa. This one, we both had Scheffler. And leave it to be, Scottie Scheffler comes through with the dub. And what people don't know is that the Big Ticket This is a man who puts his money where his mouth is. And we were getting ready to go back that evening to LA. It was Thursday evening. And I was like, oh, no, so who do you have? Do you have anything riding on this? He goes, yeah, I got Spieth. He goes, well, the real nice one would be if Scheffler won. And I'm like, oh, okay. I thought maybe he put like $20 on it or maybe $50. I said, what'd you throw on it? He goes, oh, I put a bag. And I said, a bag? He goes, yeah, I threw $200 on it. And I was like, holy shit. You know what? No one deserves that money more than you, Tick. He won in convincing fashion. Good for you for sticking by the side of the sportsman picks. And we are now 2 for 2 on our picks. Now, I know we haven't just given one pick, but listen, if you ride 3 picks.
Come on now. Yeah, come on. 1 out of 3.
I mean, that's pretty good. The field is large. And I just I want to know your thoughts. Did you watch it over the weekend? I know that you were like a little weary to not jinx it by watching too closely. Walk me through that weekend and how that looked.
Well, first of all, anyone who's going to have any gripe with our picks, I mean, it's like, sure, we're picking some of the front runners, but we could have picked Scheffler for Genesis.
Yeah, we didn't.
And we could have picked Rahm for the players, but we didn't.
We didn't.
We picked the right guys in the right spot, okay? So I want to say that first. Second of all, I want to say that, quite honestly, I'm not one to toot my own horn, but I'm going to do it. since the NFL playoffs, if you've been looking at me for a pick, it usually hits.
Been hot as a pistol, Tick.
Watch out, Bear Down. I might have my own only subs starting right now. Okay, because I'm hot, and you know I get hot around March Madness. That is my time of year,
and that is
so.
We're here. This is a big week.
That's right. We'll get into that, but it's a good time to hop back on a big ticket bets. I don't know where you were 2 years ago, but if you were on the train, it was an exciting time until it wasn't anymore. But yeah, so that was a really fun weekend. Like you said, we got to go to the players, like 2 hours. And also, before I even get into the whole thing, there's something that happens to you everywhere I go with you. It never fails. We were in the fan shop. And we were all picking out stuff. The Jet got stuff. Joe got stuff. And Perez was like, I don't think I'm going to get anything. And so you guys were kind of standing in line for a while and you were almost through. And then Perez last minute was like, I'm going to get a hat. And so he got a hat. And I was like, fuck, this guy just added like 10 minutes. We're going to be standing in this checkout line for another 10 minutes. And somehow you're talking to your checkout lady for like half an hour. And Perez actually comes out in front of you when he got in line. This happens to you everywhere. You attract bad customer service. I don't know if you're getting unlucky. I don't know if it's the energy that you're bringing to the table.
No, you know what happened is I actually was very honest, is that I bought two like one was a quarter zip, one was a jacket, like Nike players jackets, one for myself and one for Nicole. And the lady rang up only one. And as I was coming to pay, I recognized that the price was only like $100.
So you were an honest citizen.
I said to her, I was like, you know, I think you didn't ring in one of the jackets.
Wow. That's
so she went back and then tried to ring it in. And then my card, I always do the tap now with the card.
Yeah.
So I did it and she was ready to like start ringing me up. And I was like, I haven't gotten a receipt. I don't know if it went in. So a second time I was going to get everything for free because it didn't go through. So finally the third time she rang it up and did it. She was saying to me, she's like, you know, I haven't met somebody as honest as you. I'm like, well, let's just take it easy for a second.
Yeah. But
she was just very gracious. And it was actually a very good interaction that I had with her. But I just feel like, you know what? I used to look to like, you know, bypass these little side things and like get a deal here or there. Like that was a mistake on someone else's end. It's not worth it. I need good karma. We got a big week coming up. It's March Madness. There's a lot of things going around. And I felt necessary to say something. So that was the exchange that we had. That's why I took
long. Okay. Well, so you were a good Samaritan there. Good Samaritan.
Well, you thought I was getting into it with her, no?
Well, from afar, it's not so far-fetched to think that you
know,
would
I always get paid as a bad guy, you know?
Well, your reputation follows you. But see, that hasn't happened to me in a long time, but every single time that's happened to me, I've taken it. I've taken the free gift.
And you just hit Scheffler, so maybe I'm a fool.
Yeah. Well, I was poor for most of my life, and I'm not like struggling so much anymore, I'd like to think that I would now be like, you know what, you didn't ring me up for the second carton of eggs.
I think you would do the right thing,
Tick. I think now I would, but when I was like, I remember I was 16 and I was studying abroad, or I was in a different country, and I was buying a Nirvana CD. We still had, I had CD players back then, and she forgot to ring it up, and I ran like the Dickens.
Oh jeez.
Yeah, but anyway, so getting into the story, I bet on Wednesday plus 2200. I put $200 on them. I put $50 on the other guys that I mentioned too, Spieth and Xander. So I put my money on all the guys that I told you guys about the picks. And I remember I got it on, what was it, like Saturday morning, that guy Menwoo Lee or whatever his name is. You texted me and I stopped watching. I stopped watching because I thought I would jinx it if I watched it. So like, he's playing very well. I got to stop watching. And then you texted me like, you might want to hedge. And I was like, oh, fuck. So then the second you texted me that, he triple bogeyed. And from then on, you know, moving forward, no one even came close. I mean, Homa was playing unbelievable, but he just couldn't overcome how poorly he played on that first day. So yeah, I mean, there's luck involved. It's blood, sweat, tears, determination. I mean, call it what it is, but it turned out well. I mean, it normally doesn't, but today it did. And
there's nothing quite like hitting a golf tournament player outright to win, like prior to the tournament, and then watching it cash is just, yeah, it's a good feeling.
I was telling you on the phone the other day, it's like, it's as improbable, even though that there are obviously better players with better odds who normally do better, it's as improbable as walking up to a roulette table and putting $200 on red 7. It's like, the chances are just so slim, even when these guys, there are better players than others. It's like, you just don't accept, anything can happen, especially over the course of four rounds of golf, Thursday through Sunday. But yeah, hey, this week, the good guys won. This week, the good guys won.
You love to see it, Tick. You really do.
Doesn't often happen. But
Leads me to my next thing.
Yeah.
March Madness. I want you to give me a couple teams that you like, you know, maybe to come out on top. Now, one of them I have is a team that we might have together because it's your alma mater. It's the UCLA Bruins. This is a team that looks good right now. They went head-to-head in a game against Arizona, missing a couple key pieces, but – that's a good looking team. They could make a run to win it all, Tick. No?
No one likes to come up short like UCLA. The only time that they didn't come up short was a couple years ago when I rode them all the way to the Final Four, and it's because no one expected, they were like an 11 seed or something. Like, no one, when they have a target on their back, they just always come up short. They never live up.
You wouldn't take them to do much.
I would take them to go to the round of 16 probably, but I could also see them being one of those good teams that gets upset. What do you even know what their seed is? Are they like four or like a three?
Yeah, I think I'm looking right now.
If they're a four, that's super dangerous. I could see them getting taken out by a 12. I mean, 12.
They're a two seed.
Two seed? Yeah. I mean, I would take them to the round of 16, but I would not be shocked if they ended up falling out in the round of 32. I really wouldn't. But I would take them to the Sweet 16, I think. But they just always fucking two seeds dangerous for UCLA. See, teams like Kentucky and teams like, back in the day, Memphis, but or Duke, like those are trustworthy number two seeds, number one seeds. UCLA is not trustworthy. Yeah. I don't trust them as far as I can throw them. I like that you're on board with them. I love that guy, Tiger. I love the whole team. I think they've got a really solid, sound team. I just don't know if they have.
So I think that they're one of the teams that I have to go far. If I'm taking like a one heavy seed favorite, I'm going to go with Purdue. That Edie guy is.
Yeah, he's good.
It's like a man amongst boys. It's unbelievable. I remember watching last year, and he really didn't get that much like press around him. Pardon me. He didn't really get that much press around him. Like, I don't know if he just like hit another stride this year and just went off, but like, he is an absolute force to reckon with. I like them a lot. I like UCLA. And then the other team I really like is Arizona. I like Arizona. I think they're a chippy, scrappy team. They got that point guard who wears the headband. What's his name? The white kid, Kleva, I think it is. he can shoot the rock from outside. And then they got that really big inside force at center. Those are the three teams I like doing some damage. Walk me through. Who do you like? Who's catching your eye early on?
I don't do super well betting heavy on. I mean, I obviously fill out a bracket, so I do all that. But when I actually like go to the sports book and lay some money down, I don't like betting on some of the bigger teams. I just seem to always fuck myself. I'll bet on Virginia, and Virginia will fucking go out in the second round. So I like kind of betting on some of these smaller teams, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But I definitely think I have a better success rate with that. I like a team like Grand Canyon. I like a team like who I will be betting on. I like Grand Canyon a lot. I think they're going to win that game. I do. I really do. I also like VCU. I think VCU historically has always done well in the first round when they make it, when they have a decent team, and I think they do this year. And then there's another team like who our good friend Teddy messaged us about recently, right? FDU.
But who are you picking to win? I know that you're...
To win the whole thing? I think
yeah, I gave three teams that I like to go far and potentially win. I said UCLA, Arizona, and Purdue. I think those three teams are very good and could do something.
You don't think that UCLA is going to win the whole thing, though. You think they have a shot at it? I would love to hear it.
I think they have a shot.
Wow. That's pretty fantastic.
I mean, there's teams like that are like one seeds, like Alabama, Kansas. There's a lot of good teams in there, but like, dude, UCLA's good, and they have had a good run the last several years, like in this tournament. I think that they could be a force to be reckoned with. I do like Arizona better than them, and they just beat them in a game this last week for the championship. And I think Purdue is like a force, if I'm being honest. But I think...
Yeah, Purdue's very good. I would put them in the final four. Well, I don't remember what region they're in. But so so if you want to, the teams I think who will win it or who have a real good shot at it, I think Marquette is really good. I think Marquette is fantastic. I think you're not going to want to fuck with Marquette. And I like Alabama a lot. I like both those teams better than Kansas. You never want to bet against Kansas. I've done it plenty of times and have always gotten burned by it.
Kansas is always a chalk.
They're a chalk, Kansas. Yeah. I really think Marquette. I also think Texas is going to fold. There's no way that Texas makes it as far as they should.
Texas looks pretty good, too.
They always fold, though. They're like UCLA. They're like one of those big programs who you want to be there. So like, oh, they haven't performed super well in the last 10, 15 years. But you're excited that they're back. You think that they always fold. Texas, UCLA, with expectations, they always fold, both for football and basketball, quite honestly. I like Marquette. I really do. But, yeah, I mean, I don't bet on the big boys. I bet on these smaller games. I mean, but, yeah, I'll be filling out a bracket, and I'll probably pick Marquette to win everything. That's my gut feeling. I mean, how do you feel about Marquette? I mean, do you think they're overrated?
To be honest, I have not really watched their stuff. I really haven't watched college basketball the last little bit because I went through an interim stage of just not placing a single wager. So I've kind of stayed away from it. But I've watched them recently. They're a good program. I don't know too much about them, so I'm not going to make it seem like I do. But I don't know, man. It's like this tournament is like a wild card. You know, there's so many different teams that can come out of nowhere and do something. It's just hard. Marquette, I think they're not they're a two seed, I think, right?
I believe they're a one.
No, they're a two. I'm looking at it right now.
Oh, they're a two?
They're a two seed, yeah.
Alabama's a one.
Alabama's a one. Houston's a one. Kansas is a one. Purdue is a one.
Yeah.
Who else is a one? I think that's pretty much it. Alabama, yeah.
You mentioned
it's
going
to be interesting to see. I love the upsets. I do love the early upsets. They're always exciting. The first few days of March Madness, it's tough to beat. There's so
Thursday
much
and Friday is the most exciting day you could possibly have.
Friday is a day you sit on your couch and you don't move.
Thursday and Friday. I mean, both round ones. It's amazing. You want an upset prediction for me? It's a team that you said you like a lot. You like Arizona.
Yeah.
I could see Princeton.
Are you out of your mind?
I could see it. I could see it. I could see it. I could see it happening. Don't sleep on these Ivy League schools. Every time they come in, there's one of them makes a huge splash and then they fall out and then they lose in the second round. But I could
see. Right now, Ticket has Grand Canyon beating Gonzaga. All right. And you have Arizona losing to Princeton. You've got two massive upsets in the first day.
Well, I'm going to be – okay, so some of these I'm going to be – like Grand Canyon is a spread game. I'm going to be betting the spread. I think they're
very competitive. Okay, you're not getting money line.
No. But Princeton, I could see winning that game.
Oh, my.
But I'm still not going to be crazy enough to take that. Well, maybe I'll toss a couple bucks on it. But
the man's hot. He is hot, folks.
I would throw bigger money on – dude, it's March Madness. This shit happens every year.
I agree.
The best teams do not always win.
Would you say it's the best tournament in all of sports?
Yeah, by far. I don't even think it's close.
Better than like FIFA or like the World Cup or better than like...
Yeah, well, I'm not a soccer guy, but yeah. I mean, it's better than all of... I think March Madness is more exciting and more enthralling than even the NFL playoffs, which is probably my second favorite thing. Because
yeah, actually, you know what? Because
even if the Eagles aren't in it, you know, or if the Eagles aren't in it, I'm not as in. I'll watch it. I love it. I love football. I love watching it. But UCLA could be nowhere. West Virginia could be nowhere. I'll watch every second of March Madness, every single game, no matter who it is. Because it's just
credit,
it's that compelling.
The NFL playoffs were lackluster this year. They were not very good.
I thought they were pretty good.
The NFL because the Eagles were winning. Yeah, from an objective viewer who didn't have a stake in the game, there's a lot of shitty games. By the way, do you hear the latest? So. And by the time that this podcast comes out tomorrow, we're probably going to have a follow-up, but it looks like Aaron Rodgers is going to the New York Jets.
Is that true?
Yeah, apparently he has made a request that for him to go, they need to sign either Alan Lazard, Randall Cobb, Mercedes Lewis, or get this one, Odell Beckham Jr.
Wow.
Those were the guys he wanted them to bring in over as free agents. And right after they did that, Lazard to a four-year deal for $44 million. So Alan Lazard from the Green Bay Packers is now a New York Jet. And it looks like, and I have not seen any confirmation yet. I'm sure it's they're expecting to make the decision today. I think Rodgers is going to New York Jets.
Wait, so
and
Aaron, you know what's Aaron's, crazy? Yeah, go.
15 years ago to this day was when the Jets signed Brett Favre.
That is crazy. So you're saying that Aaron needed the Jets to sign any one of those guys?
I don't know if it was like a combination of them, but he was saying he wanted them to go out and make a move to get these guys to bring in. I don't think it was all of them, but I think those were the list of guys that he wanted them to target. So it means now, I mean, the Jets now, they have, you know, Michael Carter-Smith, Breece Hall. We talked about him last week on the show. He was unbelievable, had a terrible injury, but I mean, he should be back this year. And then they have Garrett Wilson, who's one of the, you know, I'd say the up-and-coming elite talents at wide receiver. I think he had over 1,100 yards receiving this year. They have Elijah Moore. Whether or not they'll keep him, I don't know now that because they have Alan Lazard coming in. Who knows what else he'll be coming. But you add Aaron Rodgers to that, and then the Jets had a pretty damn good defense. This is a team that could do some damage.
Yeah, it could. I guess if I saw that list and I'm the Jets, I'd be like, you want Mercedes Lewis? Well, yeah, we'll easily do that.
Well,
one.
That's what I would say. Easily. Like a guy like Randall Cobb or Mercedes Lewis, that's an easy acquire. That's an easy acquire. I mean, you could throw a pylon and get Mercedes Lewis.
Yeah. I mean, no offense to him. He's just old now. He used to be great, and he still is.
A funny stat?
Yeah, good year. Yeah.
He's the only first-round draft pick receiver or tight end that Aaron Rodgers has ever thrown a touchdown pass to.
Was Davante Adams a second-round guy? He was, right? He was a second-round guy?
Fresno. Yeah, he was second-round pick.
Wow,
I mean, he might have been even lower. He might have been a third-round pick.
Was he already gone by the time was Donald Driver already gone? Or
Donald Driver was not a first-round pick either.
He wasn't? Wow, that's amazing.
It just goes to show how Aaron Rodgers has done wonders with guys who have come out of the woodwork not highly touted whatsoever.
But also, you know, for a long time, your front office did do a good job of finding talent in the second, you know, beyond the first
round.
Well,
in the draft, they just didn't bring guys over.
Sure. Yeah.
They brought, I mean, I remember in my lifetime twice where they made a big free agent splash where they brought over Charles Woodson, won a Super Bowl, and then, I mean, Reggie White, probably the biggest acquisition ever, won a Super Bowl and went to a second. So it's like history shows that when the Packers actually do something in free agency, you know, good things happen. I wish someone would show the front office that because apparently they've been taking a nap the last several years. But my question to you, Tick, is do you think, say, if Aaron does go to the Jets, do you see them as a playoff team?
Oh,
where do you see them, like, falling? And could they make a splash for the AFC?
Yeah, I think the Jets are easily probably the best team, probably the best team in that division outside of the Bills. I mean, I think they'll be fighting with the Bills to take – because, you know, as good as the Bills are and as much as I've loved Josh Allen ever since he was at Wyoming, I'm a big Josh Allen guy. And obviously you are, you know the guy, but it's – he hasn't really staked his claim in that division. Like, we're the next Patriots. Like, Tom Brady, when he got going, that was his division. That was him and Bill Belichick.
Well, Tom Brady's the Bills, also the best quarterback to ever play
the Bills
game.
Are still sitting there like, we're good, but we're not accomplishing everything that we need to.
The Dolphins aren't going
think
away
if,
either.
I think if Aaron Rodgers comes into that division with all the players that you just mentioned, he could easily be like, this is my fucking division now. I could see him doing
that. Yeah, he's got that pizzazz. He definitely
does.
But the Dolphins are a team not to – listen, the Dolphins are still a very good team. People forget they lost their quarterback for, what, almost a month in the season last year. They just acquired Jalen Ramsey from the Rams. I mean, that's good. I mean, they already have a pretty solid defense, and now they add one of the premier cornerbacks in the league. I think that division all of a sudden went from being totally shitty to all of a sudden it's a pretty damn good division. The Bills are arguably one of the best teams in the AFC, if not like top three for sure. If the Jets end up with Rodgers and Lazard and all these guys, I mean, they're going to be a team to contend with. And then you have the Dolphins, who were a playoff team last year, and now, you know, they're adding pieces. And, you know, it's the second year now for their coach. Was it Mike McDaniels? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, he seems to like he came in right out of the gate, much to my dismay, because I didn't think he was going to do well. And he was really beneficial for them. So it'll be interesting to see the AFC East. By the way, the fourth team in that category is just so happened to be coached by the best coach of all time, Bill Belichick. So I don't know. It's cool to see, you know, transferring of players back and forth and seeing what's happening. But God, yeah, you know, my thoughts, people are like messaging me and like, are you like pissed? Are you upset? I'm really not. I'm really at peace with it. I feel like Aaron leaving is essentially the best thing for the team, because right now we're not prepped to win. Like, we're not at a stage where we're going to be contending. I said this last week. So I really just think it works for everyone. You know, he's a guy that I've rooted for a long time. So I wish him nothing but the best. And being in the AFC, it can actually root for him to still do well and accomplish success. And it doesn't really hurt us, you know, unless we were to meet them in the Super Bowl finals, which is not going to happen for the Packers this year. But very interesting. End of an era. If he goes, it's start of Jordan Love's. I don't know, man. I don't know if this kid's got the sauce, but
now you know what is
the rock.
You know what is exciting? You probably won't think so, but everyone's shitting on the Raiders. I think Jimmy Garoppolo
is
one
God.
Hell of a quarterback, man. I think this guy's a stud. Does he have injury problems? That for sure is true. Can he stay healthy for a full season? This guy just wins games, man. That's all he does. I'm a big fan of him. He just wins.
Well, they
but this will be the first time that he doesn't have. People are always pointing to like, well, who couldn't win with the San Francisco 49ers, potent offense and pretty good defense. Well, now he's got. They just signed Jakobi Meyers. They obviously have Devonta. They have Brandon Jacobs.
Josh Jacobs.
Yes.
But they just lost Darren Waller, who I think, I mean, he didn't play much for them last year because he was hurt half the time.
He was also hurt. Yeah.
He is a very good tight end.
Yeah, of course. But I think Jimmy Garoppolo is going to inject some life.
I tell you what, Josh Jacobs as a, you know, contract year last year was arguably one of the best running backs, if not top three in the league.
He was pretty fan. Dude, these running backs on contract years,
they get screwed.
No, they play the bet. They're like, oh, this is what this guy's
capable
of.
I'm saying they get screwed, though, with the franchise tag. Like, look at Saquon. Yeah. Look at Josh Jacobs. Look at these guys. I mean, even a Miles Sanders. Miles Sanders had a big year. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, like, but the thing is, and this is what we discussed last week, is I believe to a certain extent, is that these quarterbacks are worth, you know, fool's gold. Because then people will pay a king's ransom for a guy who's really not even that good. But with running backs, it's like they're expendable. It's like, oh, we'll bring somebody else up. And all of a sudden, this guy comes in out of nowhere and starts putting together a good season. And it's like, then he goes down. Or it's like, they're like indisposable. They just don't pay top dollar. I don't think a running back has received top dollar since, I mean, well, McCaffrey just did last year. McCaffrey, I think, is a generational talent. But like, since Ezekiel Elliott, there really have not been a lot of guys just getting paid a king's ransom. Another guy, too, Tony Pollard, was exceptionally good last year.
Incredible.
Unfortunately, had a bad injury, but he got placed with the franchise tag. It's I mean, it's tough sledding for these running backs. It's kids who are listening at home, when you start your football career, start out as a quarterback and don't look back, because that's where the money is.
Especially since a lot of these quarterbacks are just like running backs who throw the ball now anyway. They look at Lamar Jackson. I mean, that guy is – he's running all over the fucking place.
Oh,
Jalen Hurts. I mean, they're like running back quarterback hybrids these days. So, yeah. All right. Well, before we get on to some of these fan questions here, I got to ask you, did you watch the F1 thing? Do you watch Drive to Survive?
I actually watched 2 episodes.
Wow, special.
And I will give you credit. I told you I was going to watch it. I actually watched it that night. I watched it in the hotel room in Jacksonville.
Okay.
And it was good. It was entertaining. I didn't realize that there were so many seasons. There's like 5 seasons.
Sure are, Joseph. Sure are.
Did you watch all of them?
I think I'm on like season 4 somewhere.
You made a good dent.
Sure have. I mean, did you like it? Did it make you feel like you want to watch the sport, or did it just make you feel like you want to watch more of it?
I think it was a good introduction. I think it did a good job of like highlighting, you know, the areas of like things necessarily that you don't even know. Like there was that one American company that started up, and they had a couple guys in the top top 5 of the race. I think one guy was at 5, and he started. I didn't realize, by the way, that they practice, like they do a trial run, and then the Saturday is almost as important as the Sunday race.
Completely.
Because they have to push as hard as they can to get the best laps in order to place in the starting positions for the Sunday. I did not know that that's how it went. I just thought it was a race that started on the Saturday and was completed on the Sunday. I had no idea. So I thought that was really cool. I also thought it was kind of cool how to see that there's like just some big dogs, like McLaren and Ferrari are basically like the big boys in that, you know, in that area. And like, you know, they are dominating, but you have other smaller, you know, race squads who are trying to compete. They have half the team, half the size, half the money to compete with these big dogs. It's kind of like watching like the Dallas Cowboys or like the LA Lakers compared to some of these other teams who just really don't have a shot in the dark to be competitive week in.
Yeah, true.
You know, every single race. So I thought that was interesting. And then to see the pit crews, that
pretty,
to me was one of the coolest things. It's like, dude, they come into those pit crews, and like within, it seems like a second, they're headed back out.
Yeah. A good pit stop's like 2.5 seconds or something like that.
It's insane, man. I did not know. Like, I mean, you see it sometimes, but when you see it, like, and the intensity that it has, like that the show, I thought it did a very good job of highlighting the Formula One, kind of like what I thought Full Swing did for the PGA. If you just never watch golf, it makes it attractive. It makes you want to kind of continue to tune in. I thought it was good. I'll keep watching it.
Good, man. Yeah, I'm glad. I hope it eventually gets you to want to watch some of the races, because the best thing that they do, which is, makes it so interesting, is like when a team like the Lions in the NFL suck, it's like, all right, well, what are we even still watching them for? What the F1 does is they make even these battles for like for the teams for like fifth and sixth. That's the difference between millions and millions of dollars and like this company that you just mentioned, this smaller American team, Haas. That is almost like, can we continue being a team or not? And it just kind of highlights. So obviously they're the best team. Like Mercedes has dominated for the last like 8 years. That's who Lewis Hamilton drives for. And so there's obviously those guys, Red Bull, Ferrari, McLaren. But then there's these other smaller teams that are still fighting for like fifth and sixth and fourth. And that is just as important to smaller teams like them. So kind of seeing the way, I don't know. And I just like seeing guys try to build the best thing they possibly can and see who can go the fastest. It's very interesting. I really hope everyone takes a look at it. And I hope that it then translates to them maybe wanting to wake up at 6 a.m. and watch an actual race, depending on where they're at. So, but yeah, so I'm glad you watched it. Hopefully, maybe you can watch a few more episodes. We can keep checking in, or we can see where that goes.
Slowly interpret it into the, incorporate it into the show at some point.
Yeah. I mean, it's a cool sport. So, all right, well, let's get into some of these viewer questions. We got a couple of them today. We got four of them actually. So, the first one comes from Matt A. 400 faithful still here, boys. That's good to hear.
Wow.
This guy's been through some rough times.
He's an OG.
He's an OG. He's stuck through. He said, question for Ticket. How many hours each week would you say you and Jet are editing videos? Oh. 24 times 7, buddy.
Let's give him a realistic answer, Ticket.
I would say I put in 8 to 10 hours most days, but then there are some days where I do less, but there's never a day where I don't sit down for at least an hour or two to try to get ahead of some things, whether it's the podcast, whether it's ads, whether it's full videos. I try to like stay ahead, because if I wait till the last minute, it's just super stressful. So
there's a lot going on.
A lot of days, yeah, it's like 8 to 10 hours, but then even on days like Thursday when Bob to Sports has just come out, and I'll have less to do and I could sit on the couch all day and relax, I still try to put in like 2 or 3 hours towards next week. Just so I don't fucking get in over my head. Thanks for the question, Matt. Next question comes from Bulldogs Forever. Here's a question for next week. This one's for me too. Okay. Big Ticket. We have to know what started the sourdough bread making, and will we ever get a demonstration? I don't even know how that guy knows that. Did we talk about that on here? I don't know how that guy knows that.
Well, explain for those people at home who are listening.
Sure.
The Big Ticket went through a phase where he just began baking countless sourdoughs. And I think we actually discussed this on the podcast for Bob Does Sports, I think.
Oh.
Got mentioned, I think, in one of the recent episodes, that you were a little bit of like – or no, maybe not Bob Does Sports. I think it was on the Brilliantly Dumb Show. We were talking bread. Mm. We talked sourdough because we did top 5 breads. And I think that you got mentioned for your sourdough concoctions.
Sure.
When was it? Was it during the pandemic?
No, it was in the beginning of the pandemic. A lot of people picked up sourdough. I was not unique in that. That was something that like a lot of people were like, you know, I'm going to finally fucking make bread. Well, I did it. Okay. I actually went out there. I didn't talk the talk. I walked the walk. I even brought you one in the
pandemic. Yeah, you did. It was very good. Nicole made a sourdough yesterday.
There you go.
It was delicious.
It's the best bread.
There's something about baking bread. It's different than making a normal meal. It's like it's like your baby. It's like you're creating it out of nothing. It's like you have a little bit of like flour and that you created to like, you know, the dough. And then all of a sudden you have this little thing you throw it in the oven. And like all of a sudden she pulls the oven down yesterday. And she goes, oh, my God, we've got bread. And it's like it's kind of cool.
It's very cool. And a lot of people see sourdough. This is a little inside baseball for all you yeast fans out there, but a lot of people see sourdough and they think, oh, it's white, so it's probably not healthy for you. It also tastes the best. People are like, how could it possibly be good for you? But sourdough uses what's called a sourdough starter, which is basically made from fermented water and flour that you sort of babysit over the course of 5 or 6 days, and then it's good forever, and you make the bread with it. So you use that instead of yeast. Now yeast is not natural to the human body, so that's what makes that part of bread so hard for the body to digest, and why you put on pounds when you have more bread. But sourdough doesn't use that, or true sourdough doesn't use that, it uses starter. So it actually is healthier for you because it's just water and flour and your body knows how to actually digest that. So if you make a good sourdough with a sourdough starter, it's just as healthy as any other bread out there and probably more healthy. So yeah, that was probably boring.
Thomas, you might have to cut that out there.
Well, I find it interesting, but I also like F1, and most people don't like that either. So, all right, our third question comes from Gabe Dionisio. Who's taking home the Stanley Cup this year, fellas? Great pod, keep killing it. Joseph, ooh, you take that. You take that one.
It's tough to say. I don't know. I mean, it's the NHL. I will say, you want to talk parity in the playoffs, the NHL has the most parity of maybe any league aside from March Madness. It's on the NFL, but like, yeah, anybody can win at any given time. That being said, dude, the run that the Boston Bruins are on right now, and I don't want to take chalk, but they are, after 65 games, you know what their record is?
Yeah, they've won like – they've only lost like 9 games or something.
They're 50 wins. They lost last night 10 losses and 5 overtime losses.
Yeah.
50, 10, and 5. Like, I mean, you got other teams like the Maple Leafs and the Hurricanes who are really good. But it's like 50, 10, and 5. Like, they're having one of the best seasons ever. Yeah. And so, like, I just think that they are so far and above – better than any other team right now. They have goaltending and Ullmark. They got guys like Pasternak. They got guys like, I mean, whether you hate him or love him, what's his name? The fucking little Marchand, the Marchand rat. But yeah, they just got playmakers. They got McAvoy on defense. They've just got players all over the place who can just light the lamp, who can do big things. And I mean, if you're asking me one team to take, I know I don't normally like to take chalk. I think you got to go with the Bruins. In the West, it's a little bit tougher because there's a lot of teams that are right there. I mean, the Avalanche have had a bunch of injuries. Cole Makar has been hurt. Landeskog has been out for the whole season. So, I mean, the Avalanche have been banged up, but they're still doing very well. I think they're second in the Central Division. The Stars are having a great year, and then the Golden Knights are always good. I think I would probably say that I think it's tough, man. I mean, I'm going to go with the Dallas Stars out of the West for one reason and one reason only. Not that they're the best. I watched them play against Vegas when I was in Las Vegas. This Ottinger, this goalie, he is unbelievable, man. He is so fucking good. And I just think, like, in the playoffs, a goaltender is as valuable as like a starting pitcher is in the Major League Baseball playoffs. They are game changers. They can win games single-handedly. So yeah. Those are two teams, one from the Eastern Conference, one from the Western Conference. I mean, if you just want to go with one, take the Bruins, don't look back. But maybe throw the Stars in there as a little dark.
Yeah, the Bruins are stacked left, right, and center, man. And the thing is, their team is not super different from what it was last year, but the biggest thing was their star player, David Krejci, came back, who is like, he's a glue guy for them. He's not only a tremendous, tremendous talent, but he's also like, he's a huge leader in that locker room. And he left last year to go play like in the Czech Republic or something, thought he was retiring. And then he came back this year, and it's been night and day for them, and it's done so much for their locker room and the morale of all those guys. So I would put my money on the Bruins, but I also would throw some money on the Minnesota Wild. This guy, Kaprizov, is just an electric player, man. He is one of the most exciting. Kaprizov. Yeah, he's one of the most exciting young guys in the league. And then they got Marc-Andre Fleury, who's obviously getting older, but he's still playing really well in net. And they have their backup is not too bad either in Gustafsson. So I like them a lot. I think they could – I hope that the experience – they're still not lacking experience. But again, like, I think a guy like Marc-Andre Fleury can help lead that team and still has a few years under his belt to lead a team to the Stanley Cup playoffs and maybe even win it. So I like those two teams, but it's really tough not to pick the Bruins right now. They look fantastic.
They look fucking good, man.
All right. And the last question we have is, let's see here. Cam Walsh, question for the boys. I'm missing the NFL already. Going into next season fantasy football. Curious to see what you guys think will be the clear number one pick. And if you guys want to list a top 5 to 10, that would be awesome. Love the pod. Top 5 to 10 would be tough. But
I would say top pick, just seeing how well he did after being traded last year. I think Christian McCaffrey's got to be number one.
The number one pick? Wow, I disagree.
Did you see what he did with the San Francisco 49ers last year?
Played very well. The number one pick? Overall? No.
Who are you taking over him?
Well, I mean, I guess it depends on what league you have. Some leagues, favor running backs more than quarterbacks, and some favor quarterbacks more. It seems like running backs are the most important typically, mainly because just there's not so many great ones. There's only a handful of good ones. And I've gotten stuck waiting on drafting a running back and then struggling all season long on that free agency wire, just fucking streaming guys. That's never fun. So yeah, I mean, I think McCaffrey's a top 10 pick probably, but number one, I'm going to go with the same guy I went with last year. I'm going to double down on this man.
Who?
I'm going Lamar Jackson.
Are you nuts?
Lamar Jackson is going to be – he's franchise tag, so he's got even more to play for than he did last year, okay? This guy is going to look to ball out no matter where he is, and he is pound for pound the most talented guy in the league. This guy can pull anything off, and despite what people are saying, every year he comes back, he's a better passer. So if they can just get him like someone to throw the ball to, I like him a lot.
By the way, Tick, I'm looking right now, CBS.
Saquon's also not a bad pick either.
Fantasy football top 200 rankings. This was updated this past month. For next year, guess who's number one in their projections?
Gaffrey? Yeah, McCaffrey. I just don't. And you see Cooper Kupp up there. That guy fucked me last year. Okay.
I will tell you who you need to pick. Okay. If you have a top 5 pick and you got to take him because the guy is unbelievable. And as much as it pains me to say, Justin Jefferson
yeah,
is totally. A guy that yeah. should be, if he's not 1-2, he should be 3. He is so fucking good. Especially if you're PPR, this guy catches everything. And not only that, he gets targeted like 10 times a game. So even if he doesn't get a touchdown, he is an absolute force. Another guy too, Ja'Marr Chase. This guy is only getting better, and I think he is going to have another massive, massive season. So, I mean, those are three guys right there, right out of the gate. And here's another guy I would take high, especially if, you're looking for points. You're talking about Lamar Jackson. Give me some Jalen Hurts early and often. I think he is so fucking good. I had to play him a couple times. He just, especially with how they go for it on third downs, they just do this whole thing where they line up behind him and they push him in. He's getting touchdowns on the 1 yard line. Like it's kids going to a candy store coming home with lollipops. He is so good. Yeah. And I only think he's going to get better. Like I love those three guys. I love me some McCaffrey. I love me some Justin Jefferson. And I love me some Jalen Hurts. Throw Ja'Marr Chase in there too. There's four guys right there who are absolute studs who are going to really pay dividends. You know, really, really. I mean, they're
– Yeah, Justin Jefferson's a no-doubter, man.
You think Lamar Jackson is honestly the number one pick overall?
No, not – well – I think he's very, very good. I mean, you just gave three options, so I'm going to give a few. But
okay,
so Justin Jefferson, obviously. Stephon Diggs is another guy. Jalen Hurts is probably a really good one because he runs one in and he throws one every single fucking game. He averages like 50 to 60 rushing yards. It's often a lot more than that. Tyreek Hill just gets touches in PPR leagues.
I mean,
Saquon Barkley's going to have a huge year, man.
You're talking about a guy who's going to impact a team a lot, and then you look at who his number one receiver is. Do not put Davante Adams in there if you're that high on your guy.
I was thinking about it. I was thinking about putting Davante Adams in there. Yeah. See, the thing, but the other guy that I think about a lot is Cooper Kupp, because I've had him the last two seasons and two seasons ago.
Cooper Kupp got hurt, though. He got hurt.
I'm concerned about Matthew Stafford's ability to stay healthy.
Before he got hurt, Cooper Kupp was dominating.
Yeah, I know. But what I'm saying now is I'm not worried about his health. I'm worried about Matthew Stafford getting injured and Baker Mayfield trying to get him the ball. He's not going to have 13 catches for 170 yards anymore if Matthew Stafford's not the guy throwing him the ball. So I'm more concerned about his quarterback's health and who's going to be trying to get him the ball. It's very possible that Matthew Stafford could stay healthy all year long, but knowing that he's always been injury prone and the fact that he's getting older, which can only exacerbate that issue, I just don't trust him as much as a Justin Jefferson, who's got a younger quarterback like Kirk Cousins, or Stephon Diggs, who's got Josh Allen, or even a Davante Adams, who's got a Jimmy Garoppolo. I just don't trust, or A.J. Brown with Jalen Hurts.
A.J. Brown in the top 10?
I mean, I had him last year. He was spectacular. What a pleasure he was. What an absolute pleasure. Because he's got
the bunch of stuff. I can't really talk shit about your overall insight, because you did win the league last year.
I did. I sure did. I sure did. So I also haven't
been using that as a flex.
I also haven't spent any time thinking about fantasy. I mean, I'm coming off pretty cold. My head's nowhere near football right now. So I'd probably like to spend a little more time taking a look at some of the data. But off the top of my head, I mean, I really think Saquon's going to have a big year. I think Saquon's going to be – I would definitely make Saquon a top five pick, because he's a franchise tag guy too, and he's going to want to have a big year.
Well, Josh Jacobs had a massive year this past year. I don't know if he can duplicate that, but he's another guy. And by the way, you know who's looking for outs from Tennessee?
Yeah, I was just going to say, Henry. What do you think about Derrick Henry?
Well, it just really depends where he goes. Like, apparently they're seeking trade offers. So, like, I don't know if he were to go to a team like, say, if he went to Miami, that's a problem. Because they got weapons on the receiving end with, like, guys like Hill and Waddle, so they can throw the ball. But then all of a sudden you give – I know they got, like, Mostert and whatever, but you give them, like, a bell cow running back like that, that team is dynamite. I mean, I think he's good anywhere he goes, but, like, you know, what do you think of Dalvin Cook?
Yeah, he can get injured too, but I think when he's healthy, he's one of the best in the league. I mean, I would take him over almost anybody if I was guaranteed 17, 18 games, whatever they play now, that he'd stay healthy. Also, a guy like I just dropped him. What was his name? The running back for I just completely dropped his name, but I mean, Tony Pollock's another guy. Oh, I was going to say Austin Eckler, a guy who I sleep on every single year, who I never even think about drafting. I don't know why.
Looking for a trade too.
I don't know why I always sleep on him, because he just puts up numbies. This guy's a numbie machine, man. But I never think to draft. There's a couple guys who are very good. Christian McCaffrey's one of them. I never think I'm going to draft him. Austin Eckler is one of those guys too. There's a few guys I have in my head who I'm like, I don't fucking care what the value is when he drops to. I ain't getting him. I don't know why, but you know, I just don't.
I'd like to see the ticket with Jalen Hurts this year.
Yeah, I would too. I mean, Bear Down had him, and he was probably going to win the league until Jalen Hurts took those two games off, and that's when I battled him for the championship, and Daddy brought it home. Okay? Oh, all right. Well, hopefully that probably didn't answer your question. I mean, we just threw out a billion names, but I mean, ask again when we get closer to fantasy football. I'm still high, no matter where you take him. I'm very high on Lamar Jackson. I don't know if he's a number one overall. I don't even know if he's a top 10 guy, depending on your league, but I like Lamar Jackson a whole lot. I think he's gonna have a big year. I'll bet on that guy every year. But unless you got anything else, Joseph, I think we're ready to close this thing down. You got anything for me?
I'm feeling good. I'm ready to cruise on into March Madness. Next week, we're able to dissect these games a little bit. And yeah. And also, too, the trade deadline being finished and begin to assess just what's going on. I mean, there's been so many trades in the NFL. You know, to me right now, the Bears has definitely been the biggest trade, trading the number one overall pick.
Yeah.
And for a king's ransom. They literally ticked. They got two first-round picks, a second-round pick, and then they got DJ Moore. I mean, for the first overall pick, I mean, I don't care. You're
looking good.
I mean, I'm sorry, CJ Stroud and Bryce Young, but that is – you're not worth that.
No. No. They did a very good job. That.
I mean, maybe a guy – maybe Jalen Hurts right now is worth that after seeing – or maybe Mahomes is worth that, but like – a guy who's never even played in not even one snap in the NFL.
Yeah.
And you're getting rid of like all these picks plus your number one like stud receiver. The Bears, I tell you what, right now, there's a shifting of power in the NFC North. The Packers are going to be at the bottom. They are going to be maybe the worst team in that division. The Bears are on the up and coming. The Lions are absolutely already there. And the Vikings are a good team, so it's going to be a tough
you know year. Who's not going to survive in the NFC North? Matt LaFleur. He's going to have a couple bad years. And to be honest, I don't think it's going to be entirely his fault.
You know what Matt LaFleur is like?
Coaches take the brunt of when teams like the Packers go down.
You know what Matt
down.
LaFleur is like?
Sure. What's he like?
He's like kindling. It burns early and often and then goes out and is nowhere to seen to be seen, does not provide you any warmth. It's a starter for a fire, and that is it. Give me a nice 2x4 log that I can count on burning for a long time.
Give me a Duraflame. This guy needs,
I
put some chemicals
kindling.
On it.
I need a rock. I need a 2x4 that I know is going to burn a long, satisfactory while and provide me with that warmth that I need. Not Matt LaFleur.
I'm not in love with Matt LaFleur, but I think he's going to be the victim of Jordan Love. I think he's going to suffer and find himself without a job because of how poorly that team's going to perform. And it's not totally going to be his fault, but that coaches just take the brunt of those kinds of things. So anyway, another good episode, buddy. Always fun talking to you. Make sure you guys like, comment, subscribe to the YouTube. Go follow the Instagram and fire your questions into the DMs there. And Mr. Anderson will field them and we will get to them at the end of each episode because we love hearing from you guys and answering your questions. And again, it's really turned into my favorite part of the show. So make sure you guys go and follow and like, comment, subscribe, and do all the business there. But that's another good episode, man. We are the Sportsman. That is Joey D over there. I am the Big Ticket, and we will see you guys next week.